The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. This is one of those stories in the Old Testament that has a beautiful bookend and fulfillment in the New Testament. Jesus does us the great favor of explaining what all those 40 years in the wilderness, being fed with bread from heaven, having their daily life taken care of, beyond simply feeding his people, God was teaching his people, not only about how he provides for them, but about one who would come as bread from heaven himself in his flesh, Jesus Christ, and feed the world. So there in John 6, after Jesus has fed 5,000, he begins to talk to them about Moses. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. The bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So how are we to understand God providing manna to his people in the Old Testament? Joining us to talk about this, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm very well. It's really hard to imagine living on the same food for 40 years in the wilderness. You could have a little sympathy, especially in our kind of picky eaters society, for the children of Israel eventually growing tired of the manna that God provided.
Well, you sure could, and if any society could be picky, ours could be. But there is a wonderful lesson in this about God's providence, about contentment, and faith in God, who promises to provide what we need, all that we need for our bodies and lives. And in this lesson, God hears the prayer of his hungry people. He answers the prayer with just what they need. And the way he does that, by telling them only collect so much each day. And for those who are greedy and collect more, you know, their food, it doesn't matter. Those who don't collect enough, they all have enough. And then he says, you know, on the weekend, on before the Sabbath, collect extra so that you don't have to work on the Sabbath, but you can rest, and that food stays good. The rest of the time when they collect more than they're supposed to, the food gets rancid and stinky and unedible. All of this causing the children of God really to look outside themselves, to look to their God, to trust him to provide, and to see the salvation, the providence of God. And it's an incredible story. And and another favorite one in the whole line of Sunday school stories, because it's really quite amazing.
Tell us the details of this story in Exodus 16 and 17, where God feeds his people, begins decades now of feeding his people in this miraculous way every day.
Yeah, this is part of this long line of salvation history, God bringing about the salvation for all people. And it's part of our fall series here, where we're with Moses and the children of Israel. Last week, they crossed the Red Sea miraculously. The waters were parted for them. And now they are on their journey. They have set out. And, you know, maybe 2.5-3 million people here. We've got a lot of people going across the wilderness. The wilderness of sin is the name of the place, and they get out there. It's dry, it's hot, and there's little food. And they ask for food, and they go to Moses, their appointed leader, and they are upset. You know, so upset that they're saying, you know, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We would have rather died there, back in slavery in Egypt, than to be brought out in this wilderness and to starve to death, literally starve to death. So they are really complaining. And God tells Moses, you know, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And that's really significant that they just gather that day's portion. On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And so they tell the people, he says, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. And this is what God did. Day and night, as you say, for many, many years as they wandered in the wilderness, provided this bread from heaven, not like anything else. It was like a white, like flake. We don't know exactly what it was, what it tasted like, what it looked like. Some comparisons to coriander, but what we do know is that it sustained their lives, and it was the food that they needed in the wilderness, and it was the daily bread, and it clearly came from God, not by their own hand, not by their efforts in the fields or their labors. They woke up, and there it was each day, and they did not have to worry. But as we know about them, and because we know about ourselves, they got tired of this good thing. And they ceased to trust God and His providence. And they complained and wanted something different. And this too is a lesson for them in who God is for them and what He does for them. The story goes on. They are thirsty. And it's a similar instance in chapter 17. They move across the wilderness in stages, and they camp, but there's no water for them to drink. And the people, again, quarrel with Moses. Give us water, give us water. And he says to them, why do you test the Lord? And the people thirst. And so Moses cries out to God, cries a prayer out to him, what shall I do with these people? He's literally afraid for his life. He thinks they're going to stone him. And God tells him, pass before the people, take some of the elders, and take the staff that I gave you, the one that you struck the Nile during the plagues and it turned to blood. And he says, behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock, and you shall strike the rock, and out of it shall come water, and the people will drink. And that's exactly what happened. So God provided what they needed, bread and water, for their lives in the wilderness, and incredible story. And he also provided quail for them to eat, and well took care of his people, even though they complained and didn't trust their Heavenly Father.
Martin Luther famously penned the words in his small catechism under the first article of the Creed about how God gives us everything to support this body and life. It sounds like, at least in Luther's way of thinking, nothing has changed. We are in exactly the same position with regard to God's daily provision as were the children of Israel in this manna.
That's exactly right. This story is part of our salvation because through it one day would come our Savior. But it is also a story to teach us and remind us that we are no different than these children of Israel. God is He who provides for us. And He does that today, not by dropping manna on the ground, not that He couldn't, but He does it miraculously through the vocations of men and women in this world who go about their daily work and in doing so provide for the needs of their neighbor. Maybe that's bread. Maybe that's bottled water. Maybe that's medical care or auto mechanic who fixes the car that we need to drive to get to our jobs. In all these ways, God provides for us, and like those children of Israel, we so often forget who is the provider of every good thing. We forget his promises. We complain. We think it's not enough, or it's not good enough, or it's not what we would like it to be, forgetting that he does promise, and in fact, he does provide all that we need for this body and life. And as Luther says, you know, daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. So all of the things that we need, well beyond bread and water, civil government, family, a house, a home, all the things.
When we come back, Luther makes it quite clear that the reason God provides all of this is, with, as he puts it, without any merit or worthiness in me, but solely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, pointing us forward to Christ. This is why God provides for us, why he provided for his people in the Old Testament as well. More with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on God raining manna from heaven in the Old Testament when we come back. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a CD. It actually ties in nicely because part of the Witness, Mercy, and Life Together emphasis is on mercy. God provides for you, and he provides for others through you. That's part of that mercy emphasis that you'll find in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, a Bible study booklet by Dr. Albert Culver, and an attendant DVD from the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison. Find them both at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about the Bible study, Witness, Mercy, Life Together. We'll be right back.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. In about 15 minutes, we're going to get a review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, How to Be Happier 7 Days a Week. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us for that review. We're talking about God providing manna for his people and both Old and New Testament. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, Luther wants to emphasize the reason that God does all this provision is solely for Christ's sake. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, that's right. God's providing for the world, rain on the just and the unjust, food for all, does point us to a Heavenly Father who loves us enough to send His only Son to die on the cross, to suffer for us, payment for our sins. And we can look, and we're going to talk next week about the Ten Commandments and how we really have no merit or worthiness, no living being on this earth does. Yet God loves us and provides for us, and He makes His Son to take on our unworthiness, our sinfulness. He takes it to the cross, and He gives us His merit and His worth. Before God, we receive not just daily bread, but the bread of immortality. We receive forgiveness, life, and salvation for eternity because of His Son. And we look to Christ. He is, you know, in the water story, He's our rock. St. Paul tells us, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Jesus, in His Word, gives us the spiritual bread that we need, and that bread is Christ, and He is salvation. So all of this ties together wonderfully for us. It's not just about flakes on ground for Israelites long ago, but it is about who God is for us and who He is for us in His Son and what He daily gives us for today and for eternity because He loves us.
So let's talk about that really clear New Testament connection with this, because Jesus actually talks about this in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, where He compares this bread that Moses gave and this bread that He is now for the life of the world. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah. In John 6, a passage that's often talked about, in such a rich passage on Jesus being the bread of life, Jesus says of Himself that He is the living bread that came down from heaven, the food that endures to eternal life. In another place, He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Jesus is our bread of life. We hunger, we thirst for righteousness, and Jesus satisfies us by giving us Himself on the cross, delivering us and giving us His forgiveness and His life. And He gives us those through the waters of baptism, through the bread and wine, the body and blood, His very body and blood that we take in the Lord's Supper and Holy Communion. And when we believe and trust that our daily bread comes from God Himself, and we're clinging to His forgiveness and the life that we have in Christ, every bit of physical food has the spiritual significance for us of being a gift from God. Everything that He gives us, God uses both our physical food to sustain us in the body, just as He uses the spiritual food, the bread of life, the living water, the food of His supper to feed our souls for eternity. So there's all kinds of wonderful connections here and important ones to make with our kids this week in Sunday school.
We pray, give us this day our daily bread. There, you cannot miss the connection that Jesus is making there with this. And that is, again, in Luther's treatment of it, as you've said so often here already in our conversation, not just about the food, but food there stands in for everything. Talk about that.
That's right. It stands for everything that we need for this body and this life, this time we have here as God's people. And in the catechism, it lays it out nicely. House and home, field, cattle, wife, children, all my goods, all of those things that we need to get on in this life. Good government, family, food, yes, and everything that ties to that. And I love this whole doctrine of vocation where we see God in the mass of God and the people who serve us just doing their daily work. So when we sit down to have a nice steak and lettuce and tomato sandwich, yes, God gave us all of that, but He did it through the lettuce farmer and the pig farmer and the wheat farmer who produced those things and the companies and the people that cure the bacon and prepare the lettuce and get it to the stores for us, the truck drivers, the clerks in the stores who stock the shelves and provide those things for us. This beautiful chain of God providing through all of these people who are doing their work in the world. And he does it, you know, with our doctors and nurses, our teachers, our policemen, our soldiers, our sailors, our garbage man who picks up our trash every day, the telephone guy up on the wires fixing and connecting us so that we can talk across the world. All of the things that we need for this body and life fall under this simple phrase of give us this day our daily bread. Pray it, and we pray it in faith, knowing that our Heavenly Father will do it and has promised to do it, just as he promised here for Israelites. And like we need to repent when we, A, don't look to him in faith, and we need to repent when we complain about the good things he's given us, as if they're not good enough or not enough of them, because God knows best what we need and when we need it, and he's promised to provide and to care for us.
So in that sense, really in every sense, whether it was the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness or each of us in however many days the Lord gives us in this life, we are never really permitted to think of the things we have, you know, bring it down to brass tacks, the money we earn, the food we put on the table for our kids, the clothes that we wear or give to our children, you're paying college tuition, all of those kinds of things that are all we need to support this body and life. We are never permitted to think about that as something that we got for ourselves.
No, that's right. And that really runs in the face of certainly Western culture that is all about that rugged individualism, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. I earned this wage. I deserve this promotion. I should be getting this salary. All of those things, they all come from God. And you can trace them if you step out of your pride and if we can step out of our self-centered thinking and think about all the things that came together so that you could have the job that you have, the family that you have, how God prepared your spouse by making your spouse the child of the parents that they had and how they nurtured and cared for them and their parents before them, and how God brought about all these things and continues to sustain them in daily life so that we can go to work each day and do a good job. The health that he gives us, the body that he gave us, the brain to figure out the things that we do when we work and earn our living, all of it comes from the hand of God, a God who loves us both in this life, but loves us for eternity and made sure that we had eternity with him by sending his son to pay for our sins. It's a beautiful, beautiful understanding and a true one of who our Heavenly Father is and what he does for us.
With about 30 seconds here, Pam, tie this in, if you would, to your daily work now, which is Witness Mercy and Life Together. About 30 seconds.
Sure. We've got this story of hunger in the wilderness, and in our day, just right now in East Africa, terrible famine. And God is working through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, and Lutheran World Relief, among other agencies. God's working through the hearts and hands of men and women to bring aid to people who are literally dying of starvation, who don't have food because of drought and other problems that have plagued that part of the world. And this is how God works, and he works through us, his children. He draws us together in our life together in this Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or whatever church you may attend. And he, through you, through your prayers, your financial support, and maybe even going on a mercy trip to a place like this, helps to provide for the needs of people who, because of the brokenness of this world, are suffering greatly, literally dying of lack of food. And money has been sent, aid has been sent, and continues to be. And you can be part of this in prayer and support. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, World Relief and Human Care, doing amazing things in the world. And there's a link to a story about this you can't believe what President Obari of the Lutheran Church of Kenya has to say, what he has witnessed personally, the ravages of this famine. So take a look at the link. Talk about it with your Sunday school children. Pray for the people of East Africa and pray that God would provide through his church and through others to fill their hungry bellies.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As usual, Pam, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We always base our conversations with Pam on a great Sunday school curriculum coming from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. Find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for all ages by giving them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to review Joel Osteen's latest book. It is, of course, a bestseller, all along with his other books. The theme of it is how to be happier 7 days a week. And, well, Joel Osteen seems like a very happy man indeed. He has the largest megachurch in the United States. And this is the third or fourth book he's written on your happiness, being a better you. We'll review Every Day a Friday by Joel Osteen with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in the entire second hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, November the 14th. Stay tuned.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.